England, across the Midlands, Wales, and throughout northern England as well by the end of the day. That really leaves just eastern England and the southeast of England with any chance of holding on to something a little bit drier and brighter with some hazy spells of sunshine. In the best of the sunshine across eastern England, temperatures not doing too badly, 18 to 20 Celsius, but with the cloud, the winds freshening and outbreaks of rain across many central and western parts of England and Wales, temperatures a little suppressed on what we had today, 15 or 16 degrees about right. For Northern Ireland, well, it will be a wet start to the morning with some fairly heavy pulses of rain. The rain will gradually turn a little bit lighter and perhaps a little more patchy into the afternoon. Temperatures of around 15 degrees, so a little cool for the time of year. In Scotland, it will be quite a breezy kind of day. Outbreaks of rain to start the day in the west, spreading to central and eastern areas of Scotland through the day. Some of the rain could be quite heavy and persistent across southwest Scotland, where we could see around 20 millimetres or so of rain arriving. But for the rest of Scotland, the rain will be a little bit more lighter and patchier, if you like, with temperatures of around 12 to 14 degrees. That's the way the weather looks. It's back to Howard.
Many thanks, Chris. Now, our new book of the week is The Cooked Seed, Nan Ji Min's new memoir, which tells about her struggle to leave China and start a new life in America. The reader is Chipo Chung.
The date was August 31st, 1984. It was China's midnight and America's morning. I was about to drop out of the sky and land in Chicago. What made me scared and nervous was that I didn't speak English and had no money. The $500 I had folded in my wallet was borrowed. But I couldn't let myself be frightened. I was 27 years old and life had ended for me in China. I was Madame Mao's trash, which meant that I wasn't worth spit. For 8 years, I'd worked menial jobs at the Shanghai Film Studio. I'd been told there was no chance of promotion. I was considered a cooked seed. No chance to sprout. Sitting in the airplane, I tried to imagine the life ahead of me, but my mind went the other way. I saw myself as a child attending kindergarten, where everyone called me Stink. My mother was ill with tuberculosis and never got the chance to wash the blanket I brought home every month. She was 31 years old and expected to die. Watching her labored breathing and thinking about how my grandfather died of tuberculosis at 55 and my grandmother at 49, I didn't have the heart to ask her to wash my blanket. My father spent his days knocking on people's doors, asking to borrow money. People avoided him the moment they saw him approach. In the hot and humid summer, pimples began to bloom on my forehead. Infected, they oozed pus. Flies landed on my head. I was told not to sit near the others in class. I begged my mother to take me to a doctor. She said she had no money. She had 4 children, and I was the only one who wasn't sick. Zits wouldn't kill me. We were considered middle class in Shanghai. I wish that my parents were proletarians like our neighbors so we'd qualify for free medical care. Unfortunately, both of them were teachers and thus regarded as bourgeois sympathizers. To be reformed was their fate. When the Cultural Revolution erupted in 1965, my mother was sent to a factory to work on an assembly line. To get to work, she had to transfer 3 buses every morning, which took hours. She was once a beauty. She loved ancient Chinese poetry. I remember the traces of blood on the snow where she walked. Her frostbite wounds cracked open. I walked in mother's bloody footprints, amazed that she never complained about the pain. In the days before my departure for America, I went to a hair salon on Shanzi Road. "The style must go with the occasion," the hairdresser announced. I told her I was going to America. "America!" she shouted for the whole room to hear. "You don't go to America looking like a peasant." After a serious discussion, the salon's hairdressers came up with a style called Esmeralda. They explained it was Shanghai's hottest style, inspired by beautiful gypsy in a newly imported foreign movie, The Hunchback of Notre Dame. 7 hours later, the hairdresser announced that my Esmeralda was complete. During the process, I'd endured pulling and curling with ceramic rollers that were heavy on my head. The chemicals they used stunk worse than manure. Finally, I was led back to my chair. The moment I saw my reflection, I fell out of it. This isn't Esmeralda. It's a basket of seaweed. The flight captain's voice came through the speakers. I didn't understand what he was saying. Passengers on my right and left were buckling their seatbelts. I copied them. The plane began to descend. I saw a sea of lights outside the window. The beauty stunned me. Capitalism rots and socialism thrives, was the phrase passing through my mind. Was this the result of rotting? The passengers cheered when we touched the ground. Everyone picked up their belongings, and I followed them towards a big hall. My growing nervousness began to choke me. I feared getting caught. I wasn't the person I claimed to be, a student ready for an American college. But what choice had I had? I wouldn't have been issued a passport if I hadn't lied through my teeth and claimed undying loyalty to the Communist Party. My father was scared to death for me. He didn't think I'd make it. No one with any common sense would do what I was doing. But I didn't have anything to lose. I followed a female passenger into what I guessed was the ladies' room. I entered a stall and closed the door. I'd never seen such a spacious and clean toilet room. I saw a roll of paper. It was pure white and soft to the touch. I wondered how much it would cost. I wouldn't use it if I had to pay. I sat down and pulled it a few inches. No alarm went off. I dragged out a foot more and put the paper under my nose. There was a lovely faint scent. Carefully, I wiped my behind. What an amazing feeling! I grew up with toilet paper that was made of raw straw. In fact, I had some packed in my suitcase. I inched forward in the line, heading toward the immigration station. The man behind the booth called, "Next!" Shaking, I held out my passport. The officer was a middle-aged white man with a mustache. He grinned and greeted me with what I later came to learn was, "Welcome to America." My mind went blank. I'd been studying a book called English, 900 Sentences. According to the book, "How do you do?" would be the first words you'd say when you met someone. Obviously, this wasn't what the officer had said. How should I reply? I could feel his eyes boring into me, so I decided to give him my prepared response. Lifting my chin, I forced a smile. "Thank you very much." The officer spoke again. He waited for my answer. He was losing patience. "Do you understand?" Panicking, I shouted another, "Thank you very much!" His smile disappeared. He began to speak rapidly, motioning me to a door with a glass window. I was escorted into a brown-colored room. A lady came in. She introduced herself as a translator in accented Mandarin. "You don't speak any English, but you're here for college. How do you explain that, Miss Min? Your papers say you speak fluent English. I guess you didn't fill them out yourself, did you? We need to deport you, Miss Min." I broke down. "I came to America because I have no future in China. I'll be as good as dead if you deport me. My airplane ticket cost 15 years of my salary. My family is in debt because of me. I'm begging you for an opportunity." The translator looked away. "I'm sorry, Miss Min. You wouldn't be able to function in this country. You'll become a burden on our society."
"I'll be nobody's burden. I don't need much to live. I'm an excellent laborer. I'll deport myself if I don't speak English in 3 months. Please, My feet are on American soil. I might not be able to communicate, but I can draw. Look, here are pictures of my paintings. I'm going to the School of the Art Institute of Chicago. Help me. I began to weep. The translator bit her lip, then abruptly stepped out of the room. I had been handpicked by Madame Mao's talent scouts while hoeing weeds in a cotton field. The year was 1974. I was working in a labor camp near the East China Sea. Half of China's youth had been sent to labor camps. Mao had won the Cultural Revolution. Using the students, calling them Red Guards, he'd successfully eliminated his political opponents. But the youth had started to cause unrest in the cities, so Mao sent them to the countryside. He told us to get a real education by learning from peasants. It didn't take long for us to realize we were in hell. We worked 18 hours a day on hostile, salt-saturated land. The Communist Party ruled with an iron fist. Harsh punishment, including execution, applied to those who dared disobey the rules. Then, like a package, I was shipped to the Shanghai Film Studio. I was to be trained to play a leading role in Madame Mao's propaganda movies. I was chosen because my looks matched Madame Mao's image of a proletarian heroine. I had a weather-beaten face and a muscled body capable of carrying hundreds of pounds of manure. The nation suffered a double shock in 1976. Chairman Mao died, and when we were still deep in our grief, Madame Mao was overthrown. My status changed in a heartbeat. I was considered Madame Mao's trash, guilty by association. All I did was follow orders. I had no talent for acting. The camera assistant had to pin the corner of my costume down to hide my trembling. My back was soaked with sweat at the sound of action. But I tried hard to save myself being shipped back to the labor camp. To be strong and dependable was what my parents expected of me. No matter how scared I was, I had to wear a brave mask. It was while I was at the studio that I met a girl called Chen Chong. The day I met her, she just turned 15. She had an egg-shaped face, ivory-smooth skin, and a pair of large, almond-shaped, crystal-clear eyes. They reminded me of a dragonfly. She'd been discovered by a talent scout and assigned to play a child in a propaganda film, but the production had been cancelled. She was timid and shy and had no idea what to do or where to go next. One night, when she was scared to clamber back up into her bunk bed in the dark, I said she could climb in with me. Thrilled, she jumped in. I discovered my young friend loved to laugh, and it was contagious. The director was searching for a fresh image, in stark contrast to Madame Mao's taste. It would be the face of a classic Chinese beauty, with a touch of modernism. The director noticed little Chen Chong and took her away for test shots. In a few months, she was to soar to superstardom. In the winter of 1984, I received a letter with fancy foreign postage stamps. It was from Chen Chong. She'd gone to college in America. She told me that her new name was Joan Chen. I felt grateful that she remembered me. I wished I had something interesting to report. I couldn't tell her that I'd been thinking about ending my life. I was 26 years old. She explained that she didn't live the life of a royal princess. She had to work as a waitress to support herself and pay her college tuition. When she said that this was the case with most Chinese students studying in America, a light came on inside my head.
Jipo Chung has been reading The Cooked Seed by An Chi Min. The programme was abridged and produced by Jane Marshall Productions. The shipping forecast follows in a minute or so, and in the meantime, we're sailing by. BBC Radio 4. Now, the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 0015 on Tuesday, the 2nd of July. The general synopsis at 1800. Mid-Atlantic low 994, expected Hebrides 987 by 1800 Tuesday. The area forecasts for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Cira, south at Cira, east 40s. Variable 4 becoming southerly or southeasterly 5 to 7. Fair. Good. West 40s, Cromarty, 4th, Tyne, Dogger. Variable 4 becoming southerly or southeasterly 5 to 7. Fair, then rain or drizzle. Good becoming moderate or poor. Fisher, German Bight, Humber. West or southwest 4 or 5, backing south or southeast 5 or 6. Mainly fair. Moderate or good. Thames, Dover, White, Portland, Plymouth.